Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. It's a delight to have you with us. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the subject of education, and we're going to be examining specifically the advantages of the Montessori method of educating children, specifically and especially. And we're going to do it with a wonderful guest who's based out in Ridgefield, Washington, out on the West Coast. Her name is Darlene Lambert-Netzer. Darlene Lambert-Netzer. She is a distinguished educator and a passionate advocate for the Montessori method. She's thrilled to announce, by the way, that she has continued her dedication and commitment to shaping young minds through innovative teaching strategies. She has a background in both public and Montessori education, and she brings a really unique and rich perspective to the learning environment, particularly at the secondary level. We'll go through her education and her experience, but it's really remarkable, and she has a vast experience in the educational field. She is a firm advocate for Montessori education. She encourages parents and educational stakeholders to understand its benefits and to commit to holistic educational experiences for their children. Montessori, by the way, goes beyond academics. It prepares students for life. And through real-world applications such as planning educational trips and practical subjects, the students who are, you know, in the classes develop essential skills and prepare them for the future. She's newly retired, but Darlene's impact endures through her legacy and her ongoing advocacy for the Montessori method. She remains an active voice for Montessori education, guiding new educators and collaborating with institutions to help implement creative learning initiatives. She also encourages families to explore Montessori-oriented activities and to create enriching learning environments at home. She has a master's degree in Montessori education, which she complemented with valuable insights from her time teaching in the public schools. She taught at St. Francis Academy in Portland, and she taught grades 7 through 12. And she divided her students into junior and senior divisions in her educational activities there. So she has a vast background in this field, and it's something we don't really talk a whole lot about as teaching children and talking about, you know, a method such as Montessori. So I think it's great that she's with us today. We could all learn something about this from her. So let's bring her on. She's at her home, as I've said, out in Ridgewood. Ridgefield, Washington. And Darlene, welcome. Nice to have you here. It's a delight to have you with us today.
Thank you. That's a great introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was pretty much correct, right? Everything I said?
Yes. Yes, you were.
Very good. All right. For people who don't know anything about Montessori, well, how do you explain it to people who are totally green on the subject? How about
that? I nearly always begin by saying that probably the most important tenet of a Montessori approach to education is to follow the child. And that is probably the most important thing. And from there, everything else falls into place fairly well. If you allow the student to lead you, it's based on doing a lot of observation of your students. So in Montessori school, the teachers are called guides because instead of imparting vast knowledge to a student as much as we can, it's more that we're following the student in their pursuit of their own education. Mind you, they still have to pass state standards and pass their usual achievement tests, but it isn't endless testing. They have to meet those standards, but they're relatively easy to meet. They are not particularly advanced. They're designed to see how well the students are measuring up to state standards. Anyway, so we start mainly by observing our students, and we get to know our students really well. They're in mixed group classrooms, so that's how I was able to handle grades 6 through 12 on as many as 60 students, but I did it as a workshop, and the students would be in the junior division, which would equal grades 7, 8, and 9, so ages 13 to 15, and then the senior division would be grades 10, 11, and 12. And the nice thing about having the students in mixed groups like that and keeping those same students is that you always have one group coming in that's new and one group that's kind of, they've been there at least a year, and so those are your workers. They kind of know the situation. They know where to head and what to come in and just start working, how to do that. And then you have your students that are ready to move on, and they usually become your leaders. Not always. Often there'll be a younger student with charisma and leadership skills that will do that, but primarily it's the older students, and they have more responsibility in the classroom. They'll often just take over when we're planning a class trip. Those older students will probably, they nearly always step right up, and they suggest who's going to lead the cooking team, who's going to work in the kitchen, who's going to see that the tents are up, who's going to figure out the transportation, who's going to do all of the different things that have to occur in order to take students out into the world. And we do that several times a year, and with a different focus each time. We begin each year with
what
we
call... Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you a second to ask you a question. Sure. The Montessori method of teaching, does it involve reading, writing, and arithmetic, or is it specifically focused on reading, or does it cover all the subjects?
It covers everything, geography, math, everything. And students are often drawn to different parts of that education. The entire world is open to that student. They're often drawn to different things. And so if you have a student who's highly, highly, say, art motivated, and I had a son like that who basically wasn't too interested in reading or doing anything else, but his Montessori guide figured out that she could address his weaknesses. Weakness isn't the actual best word for that, but the things that he really needed to focus on for a while, say reading skills or maybe more math, she could approach those through his artistic leanings by having him do his math maybe for the first 45 minutes of a classroom and then switch over to putting away the math materials and getting out the artwork and allow him to do some art for a while. And so she figured out right away that he was so motivated with his art that she could use that to approach the areas where he really needed more study and more time spent and to develop a better foundation in those areas that he maybe wasn't so interested in doing just on his own. So you, as a guide,
I have another question. I know you have all the answers, but I'm trying grasp so I totally understand. Are we dealing with children in all various grades? That's one question. I mean, this goes from like first grade all the way up through 12th grade? Or?
Before
kindergarten.
Students begin, in what is termed the children's house, and those are the toddlers, age 2.5 to 5 or 6. And so they can start, and often because of the needs of the families, that there will be an included daycare program before and after school. But once they come into that's in a separate part of the school, and they don't use the Montessori materials there as much as they would maybe board games or other kinds of things that they could explore on their own in the daycare situation. But once they're in the classroom is filled with Montessori materials at that age. And there's math materials, there's music, there's geography, a fabulous globe. There will be lessons taught by the guide when he or she sees that the students are ready for it. Maybe a couple of students are really interested in the map puzzles, and they'll start with that. And from there, she might do a presentation on the geography of the United States or the geography of Europe. Maybe even from there they'll explore the solar system and all of the other things that go along with geography and the physical sciences. And then other students, of course, are hearing this because it's taking place in the classroom where they all are, and they might gather around as well and show an interest. So the guide pays attention to who is following that on their own. And then often students want to work together, and they can do that. or if a student wants to use materials that someone else is using, then they're taught in the grace and courtesy parts of our program that they can ask politely. And if a student wants help or wants to have someone enter into that study, they can invite them in. They can also say, as long as they're very polite, they can say, oh, no, thank you, I'd rather do this alone. So
okay.
Right from the very
right.
first, right. So they
another,
can
another
start
question
that way.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me clarify something. In order to, you know, to benefit from this form of education, you go to a specific school that specializes in Montessori. Is that correct?
Yes, because they start the lessons and all of the curriculum are in the early grades, and in the early the children's house are all based on materials, specific physical materials that Dr. Montessori, she invented herself. There are racks and tubes that have little beads, and that is used for the mathematics facts. And there are beautiful maps, and they're very expensive because they're all in natural, beautiful woods, and all of the desks are specifically proportioned to children. There's no desk for the teacher. Most of the time, she's sitting on a little child's chair, or he is, and observing, and then doing the lessons maybe at a separate table where students can all be seated around however many students are interested. Because of the, especially in the early years, the materials are so important that's why they would go to a particular school. They're very expensive to purchase, so it's not likely that a family would purchase a set of Montessori materials for their own use.
All right. So it's best to start out young. Do most children who begin being educated in a Montessori school, do they stick
mm-hmm.
with it all the way to graduation? Or
they do.
How do you answer that?
The way I would say it is that in the early years, yes, often families, particularly the children's house, those first 3 years from ages, say, 2 to 5 or 2 to 6, those students generally stay with that. The families generally love it. And particularly if they need daycare, it's a wonderful way to integrate the daycare into their education. It just is pretty seamless because they stay in the same physical building. They might move to a separate area, but
right.
When school is finished, and they can also generally choose, if there are children, as long as they're potty trained, they can start at 2.5, but there may be children who really just are exhausted after the morning, and they wouldn't do much else, and if the family is not working full time, for example, they might go home at noon. But typically, the students stay on for the full day from 8:30 to 9 in the morning, and then until 3 or 3:30. And if they're not staying for daycare, parents pick them up at the end of that day. And that's what I did because I was a stay-at-home mom for years.
So we're talking about really young children here. I'm
yes,
wondering how
yes.
long do they stay in these schools? Do they?
Then
go
if
ahead,
they begin
me.
To kind of. It seems that a lot of these families who have their children starting in children's house, they're always looking for how can we carry on this education. The student loves the school, they're loving
right.
learning, and how can we continue? So they'll choose to stay on. And the school that I was at had a really strong grade school program. So first through sixth grade, that was very strong. And when I first went there, and our boys moved there after their children's house years, they excelled in those elementary years as well. And then my two boys loved it so much that they wanted to stay on, and there was a new experimental program at St. Francis Academy that was added to the original school, which is called the Franciscan Montessori Earth School, and it is still in existence. But because students, as they get older and into their teen years, they often want a larger social group, or they might want, citywide sports events, that kind of thing. They may choose to move out, and that's where we began to lose students, and those groups became smaller. It's a kind of a risk that you run if you're trying to create and to really encourage independence in your students. You better be ready for them to maybe make a choice you wouldn't make. So if they decide they want to move out, a family who really buys into Montessori and to that independent spirit will probably help them find another school that may be part of the public system or another private school with a larger social group, a larger number of students. So we found that we began to lose students more and more as they got older. And in the end, after the first three or four graduating classes, we just couldn't make it, it didn't pencil financially. And so we went to we dropped the high school. There's still St. Francis Academy, but it only now goes up to grade 8.
Right.
And what that did then was it changed the dynamic of having your three grade levels in one classroom, because that 7th and 8th grade are together and there's no 9th grade year. We had to do that primarily because when students wanted to transfer, it makes better sense to transfer to another high school as a freshman rather than as a sophomore or junior. And that if you come in too late to some of those programs, students can't qualify for JV sports if that's what they want. It's just better to transfer at those sort of normal breaks in where our education in the public system is set up the way it is. It makes more sense to go on in as a freshman.
Let's talk about how well prepared they are to go on to another school. On a par with the kids there, or
better. And they are also, because of their independent spirit and the fact that they've worked that way, they enjoy working in groups very often, group projects, but they also do well as in individual projects, and they're great at finding their way and finding what they want to study within what's offered. Say if they move, that was one of my first questions, how well are they prepared to move on if they decide to do that?
Exactly.
And if the family wants it. And throughout those years, before I was even in the program, but my boys were, I kept understanding from the administration and the staff that they were having a very easy time transitioning. What they might have some issues with were the fact that they they had to wait to be called on if they had a question, whereas in a Montessori classroom, that would just come as the guide of moving through the classroom. They could ask a question right then. They didn't have to wait, raise their hand. So sometimes it's the classroom management that took a little adjusting, but they always did because they've been so there's a grace and courtesy part of Montessori that begins very early on where they instead of sort of just inserting themselves in a project or blurting out a question, they always ask politely. And so they know what those social skills are, and they come with that, which I think doesn't always happen in a normal sort of more what we're all used to, which is a normal public school situation.
Right,
but because
right.
of their grace and courtesy, they can fairly easily, I don't know of any who ever left that came back, let me say. And so they all thrived wherever they went. And the same thing happened, as they graduated high school and went on into colleges. They were very well prepared and widely educated beyond the classroom subjects, right down to planning meals and nutrition and all of the things that go on into the secondary Montessori program.
Well, that would be the key. I mean, how well educated are they? I guess you really have to establish for a parent who's trying to get their child or enroll their child in a school like this, how is it going to affect them and their life and their education, through 12th grade? They learn how to learn, right?
That is the goal. And they really do. We had a few students, we always took a few that might be, say, struggling in their public school situation, and we always took a few of those kids, and they would, as long as there was a good group to start with that had the leadership group in place and the worker bees are in place, and then here came the new group, if they came in with another new group, the students kind of nudged them just socially into they would include them in their studies, include them in using materials. They kind of helped each other. And it was amazing to watch how we could include some of those students who had really, really struggled in public school situations. And it might just be that they were, you know, angry, angsty teens, but they were disruptive in their public school situation. And because we don't have a quiet classroom in Montessori, people are talking in a, you know, normal voice, and it's not a silent study kind of situation, they would sometimes adjust better because they didn't have to wait. If they were anxious to ask a question, they could, you know, politely ask it. It didn't have to wait until I called on them. Yeah. And the students are polite enough to do that. I mean, they certainly, for having a class discussion, would raise their hands, but they don't have assigned seating. They in the very early stages, they're taking out a mat, they set up their materials, they go to work, and other students can join in or not, depending on who has that material and if they want someone to help or join in. So there's more inclusion from the students themselves, and I think that made some of these students feel more accepted. And also, often it was a smaller group, not always in my writing workshops, but in the other classes, might be a smaller group, and they could integrate more easily than in a large, say, junior high school situation or middle school situation where there are 30 or more kids in a classroom. Mm-hmm. So that all helps. And as long as you have a good foundational group, that works really well. What you don't want is a majority of new students joining in with too small of a group of Montessori kids. It becomes a little bit more, it's less manageable. It takes a lot more individual time and work with the families that way.
So these are essentially private schools, correct?
They are private schools. They are. Yep. Although I have to tell you, there are some wonderfully successful Montessori public schools. Milwaukee, Wisconsin has a very well-known and highly esteemed Montessori public school situation. Spokane, Washington has one. There are some. And then there's the Hershey School in Pennsylvania, which is actually a farm school. And that's really different. That's where the students go to live all 3 to 6 years of their secondary education, and the parents are invited in at specific times. But that was really what Dr. Montessori, Maria Montessori, what she envisioned for those teens. She thought they should live away from society, form their own group, their own society, their own governing body, and she felt that was the way to work with those students. And it can be, but in the U.S., we don't have a foundation or a tradition of schools, private schools where kids go to stay and live. We don't have that boarding school sort of set. So this is the way that the U.S., American school system, and those who are interested in implementing some of those tenets of Montessori that becomes a little bit we have to adjust it. She calls it the Erdkinder, where those students, Erdkinder, which means Earth's children, she called it the Erdkinder, and that was where they went away to a boarding school. Well, the only one I know of that's been particularly successful is the Hershey School in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And it's very well endowed, and it's very difficult to get into, but it's, you know, it's a really unique situation. Educators study it from the time it was started years and years ago, and it's still going strong. But there aren't many of those, and we just have that.
That name again, Erdkinder, what does it stand for? Do you know?
It means Earth's children in English, E-R-D. Earth, kinder, is children. So like kindergarten is children's garden, right?
Okay.
So she came up with that, and she felt that that's the way the teens, the older students, should be educated, that they would go into a situation that was, of course, you know, they're guided through it, and they don't go there to start school. These are students who have come up through the Montessori classrooms and have a wide knowledge of the Montessori approach, and it's very natural to them. They would go on and just move into this boarding school situation. Well, that worked okay in Europe, not so much here.
Okay. Another question. Do they wear uniforms or
no?
Not necessarily?
Not typically. No. There are some guidance. When I was teaching at St. Francis Academy, the students were asked not to wear like superhero kind of things. But if some of them wore things like Save the Bees It was more about trying to get them to focus on reality and real life things and save the other, the superheroes and all the things kids love. That can be done with the family. But not to say it's a bad thing, but it became distracting. And so there were no uniforms, but there were some clothing, you know, some dress codes. And nothing too crazy. They could choose to be, you know, I remember it was quite a big deal when my son wanted to get his right ear, one of his ears pierced, I forget. And so it was, that was one of the things in the dress code that he wanted to do it. So we said, well, you probably need to write this out and make a presentation to Mother Francine. She was the principal, the founding, co-founding principal of the school. And he made his case, and it turned out there were quite a few kids who wanted to do it. But anyway, he made his case, and she agreed. She said he had given her a really good argument and why it was important to him. And then she also said, but why don't we make that? Let's connect that to a goal. Maybe there's a particular goal that you're trying to reach. Let's connect that as like a reward for your goal. So he was involved in karate, and he said, well, when I get my youth black belt, then I want to get my ear pierced. We didn't care. We figured it was his ear, and he'd forget about it sooner or later. And I'm trying.
How long ago was that?
Oh my gosh! He's 42, so he was about 14.
Right. So that he stood out probably at that time.
He did at that time, but
it
was good for him. Well, pardon me.
Did he get teased a lot?
It opened the floodgates. All of a sudden,
really?
He had 20. Yes, there were some families who weren't happy about it. They didn't want their students to do it. But my husband and I didn't care that much. It was only an ear piercing. We figured he'd get over it, and he did eventually. And he didn't take it anywhere else. There was no tattooing going on at that point or anything like that. At least not in his 14-year-old peer group. And
all right.
So,
quick question I have. I want to get this in because we're running through a half hour just like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Educational trips important in this education, right?
They are, and it's the going out. Students start at age 2 and a half with going out to they have gardens, and they raise vegetables, and then the students take that all the way through harvest and preparing those vegetables for snacks in the afternoon for their peers. Well, that's part of the going out, and so each time as they age through the system, they go wider and wider. Perhaps they go out in the city, a nearby city, or the city they live in, and they go out to, maybe there's a special exhibit at the Art Museum or at OMSI or Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. So they'll plan a trip. And if students want to do that, we make them aware that this is going on. And if the students are interested, they'll join together with other interested students and figure out how much it costs and how they'll raise the money to do it. And we have some money in the budget to get – there's usually a little seed money involved. But how they will raise the money, how they will get there, will it be public education or will we politely ask parents to provide transportation? Or how will we do it? And it goes on. And then as they're in high school, they plan a trip for their U.S. history classes. They have to plan a trip to the East Coast. And eventually they plan a trip to Europe. And that was all part of the curriculum as they got. And kids look forward to all that. They love the planning. They love
Darlene, I have another quick question. How does one find a Montessori school in their area? What's the best answer?
Normally they'll be listed. You can just go to education and Google now. It used to be look in the yellow pages under Montessori or schools, and then they would be broken out. And it's basically the same way a Google search would work. They will be broken out if you enter Montessori and then your location, and you'll see what's available at different age groups and where and how close they are to your home and all those things.
Well, listen, you've been a mountain of information on this subject. If anybody listening wants to learn more, Darlene's going to be back with us next week, same time, next Monday.
Right.
And I suggest you come back then. Our guest's name is Darlene Lambert Netzer, and she doesn't have a website, but you are on Facebook, right? Or LinkedIn. You're on LinkedIn.
Yeah, they might be able to find
me. You
gotta
go, sweetheart.
Yep, okay.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Me too.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Surely do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Take care of yourself. Bye.